Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Primarily this morning, most of you will just be listening in. I just have just a few things to say to Tim and Carrie this morning. And, you know, usually Tim is right there and responding to me, and I don't always get all my points in. And this morning, at least I know I'll get all my points in. I love you, brother. I just want to say, first of all, what a privilege it's been to work with you the last 3 years and see the Lord work in your life, to see the Holy Spirit bring you along and encourage you and build you up and grow you up. And it's been good. And I'm looking forward to many more years of being able to serve Jesus together. As I studied this passage of Scripture that Tim asked me to share on this morning, it's out of 2 Timothy. And as I studied this passage and meditated on it, you know, the Lord brought out 5 points that I'd like to share this morning. How many of you know that the book of 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote? It was the last book that he wrote. Who did he write it to? He wrote it to Timothy. Timothy was a young man that he had spent 15 years of his life mentoring. Now, I didn't get 15 years, but, you know, it accelerated. At least I thought that was funny. I'm nowhere near the Apostle Paul. I believe he was the second most influential man that ever walked the face of this earth, the Apostle Paul. And as he was in a Roman prison, knowing that the sentence of death was upon his life, the last thing that he wrote, you know, 2 trips ago, I flew with a Christian man, and we had quite the discussions, and we were in Borders up in New York City, and he pointed this book out to me, and it was called 1 Second After. That was the name of the book. And the book was about what it would be like if an EMP was detonated over the atmosphere of our country. An EMP is an electromagnetic pulse, and that is what a nuclear device puts out. And it's been, I don't know if speculated is the right word. It's been proven that if that happened, that it would shut out everything electrical, everything with electronics, and, you know, so your cars, your computers, your refrigerators, everything would stop. And this book was about what happened after 3 of these devices were detonated over our atmosphere. Everything came to a standstill. Airplanes fell from the sky and crashed and burned because our airplanes run on electronics. And I started this book in the hotel, and then we got to the airplane, and I'm right at the point right after it happens and bad things are happening. And I look at him, I go, look, you pointed me to this book. You can't make me sit here for 3 hours now and not find out what happens. So he said, okay, go ahead, you can read to the end of the chapter. So I pick up the book. Not a good idea. You know, we're barreling into Miami here, and, you know, you have to be at 250 knots and 10,000 feet by a certain point, and all I can think about is this book, and it's my leg, and I'm flying, and I'm going through 8,000 feet, and the captain just looks over at me, and he raises an eyebrow, and I'm like, what? I'm still at 280 knots below 10,000 feet. Now, that doesn't mean much to some of you, but those of you that are pilots know that you can get a ticket for that. You can get fined for that. So I was so engrossed in the premise of this book. And you know what I was thinking about? What would I say? Who would I say it to? If our airplane crashed and burned because we had no more electronics and we were a glider and we couldn't make it to an airliner, what would I say? Who would I say it to? That's all I could think about. And here's Paul with the sentence of death on his life. And what does he say? What does he say, and who does he say it to? You know, I thought, man, what would I want on the cockpit voice recorder? What would I want my children to hear? What would I want my wife to hear? And Paul basically has this opportunity for his last words. The second most influential man, in my opinion, that ever walked the face of this earth, that ever heard from God and penned it down to what we now know as Scripture. What did he say? This is what he said. 2 Timothy 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. I charge you therefore. So Paul, knowing that he was about to die, knowing that he had one person that he wanted to influence for the message of the gospel, for the message of Jesus, he wrote a letter to Timothy, and he said, I charge you, preach the word. Now, later on, Tim, we're going to charge you. We're going to charge you to be true to the calling that God has put on your life. We're going to confirm that calling. This congregation, this body of elders is going to confirm that calling. But what Paul said here to Timothy was, I command you. It wasn't just a charge. It was a command. The Greek means command. I command you in the presence of God. Where was Timothy? Or where was Paul? Paul was in a Roman prison. You know, I've been in prison, believe it or not, in an Indiana prison in Warsaw for the day for failure to appear. Hey, you know, it had a toilet, it had a bed, it wasn't that bad. Couldn't get a hold of any of my buddies to bail me out, and I didn't want to call my wife, so I stayed there a while. That's another story. So prison, as we know it, yeah, it's bad, but it's not what Paul was experiencing. He was in a hole in the ground with a small hole for them to put down whatever they wanted. That's where Paul was. And what did he say? He said, in the presence of God. Tim, the first thing I want you to remember is this. Carrie, the first thing I want you to remember is this. That no matter where you are, no matter what happens, no matter what opposition, no matter what resistance, you're always in the presence of God. Paul didn't say, you know, man, I'm suffering here in a Roman prison. It's terrible. It's bad. God, what were you thinking? All I was doing is what you asked me to do. All I was doing was following your commands. All I was doing was being faithful, and I ended up in a Roman prison with a bucket to go to the bathroom in and a stone to put my head on. Always remember, God is sovereign, and you're in the presence of very God. You see, Paul understood that regardless of his geography or his circumstances, that he was in the presence of God. Now, we believe that we're in the presence of God this morning, don't we? We believe that God is here and present. We invite his presence here. But if God was sitting beside Lynn in bodily form, if that was possible, if God could do that without filling this room and blowing the roof off of this place, what would you say? You know, when people we love and revere and respect are around in our presence, we want to say the right things, don't we? We don't want to sound stupid. We don't want to sound trivial. We want to say what would please that person. And here's Paul in a hole in the ground in Rome, in the presence of God, saying, preach the word, commanding Timothy to preach the word. Now, to get a full understanding of that, I think we need to look back a little bit. Just a few verses back in chapter 3. Amazing to me that in this second book of Timothy, Paul's emphasis was on the word of God. The word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Greek word there means effective. It's effective for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Paul then goes on to say, preach the word. He commands Timothy to preach the word. And so that's what I'm charging you this morning, Tim. In spite of circumstances, in spite of geography, in spite of opposition, in spite of suffering and oppression, continue to preach the word. You answer to an almighty God, and he is in the room. And one of the things that Tim and I talk about often is the fact that we will one day give an account. In fact, he says it right here, in the presence of God and even Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. How often do we think about that? Church, I think about it every time I open this book. Every time I stand up here, I think about the fact that I'll give an account one day for how I handled God's word. And Tim and I talk about that often, and we're serious about it. So the problem we have today is that preaching has a bad rap. You know that the stats tell us that 3,000 churches close every year? And I'm here to tell you this morning that Bob's opinion is the reason that churches close is because godly men cease to open this book and preach the word and point to Jesus Christ. That's why churches close. And God forbid that happens here. So Tim, I charge you today to preach the word. Preach the word. The Bible is clear when it talks about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. God has given us his word in the exact form that he wants it. In the original writings, it was perfect. Men were carried along by the Spirit of God, not by chance, not by what they thought or thinking logically to the right or wrong conclusion. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so the second thing I charge you is to always be pliable in the Holy Spirit's hand. Always be tender. Always be easy to be entreated. So that when you give account, you can say, I've done it well. I've done it well. He goes on to say, be ready in season and out of season. You know, I had to think, oftentimes I drive by Johnny Mills' farm as I go to see my grandma at the nursing home there. And I wondered, as I thought about this passage, what would it be like if I saw Johnny Mills out planting corn in the middle of winter? I'd say, man, that dude's crazy. What's he doing? He's wasting time, resources, fuel. But you see, he knows when the right season is to sow, don't you, Johnny? You see, when you're a preacher, you don't have that. We don't have the, help me, what's the word I want? We don't have the freedom, the benefit of that. We're to preach in season and out of season. When people like what we say, when they don't. When we feel comfortable, when we don't. When it's convenient, when it's not. In season and out of season. We don't have the liberty to decide when we preach the word. But what we do have is the ability by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in love. And so that's the third thing I want to charge you. Always speak the truth in love. The truth hurts. The truth can be damaging. The truth can be wielded like a stick. We never want to use this as a bully pulpit. We always want people to know that we love them. You see, Paul, he tells us in Ephesians 4 that unless we speak the truth in love, it will not be effective. He also tells us in 1 Corinthians that the word is not profitable when it's used as a stick. And so we want to speak the truth in love. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit also. I can't will myself to do that. To preach means to proclaim, to announce, to instruct. You know, the problem is in our society today, people don't like monologue. They like dialogue. They like back and forth. You know, people say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? Where do you get the authority to tell me what to do? Well, we're the preachers. Preachers preach. We give an account to a higher authority. You know, that'd be like me showing up in the cockpit in my uniform and somebody saying, well, what are you doing in that getup? I'm there because that's my job and I'm trained to do it. And I don't say that lightly. Sometimes it scares me. And I know sometimes it scares you. That authority comes from God. You see, the problem is people don't like to be told what to do. I want the church this morning, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. As long as Tim and I are here, the word of God is going to be preached. It's going to be preached. You see, the Bible is clear. Preaching offends, It defines, it dethrones us, and it exalts a holy God. That's why we do it. That's why we lift up His Word. Not only does it offend, it calls to repentance, but then it restores. And that's why preaching is going to be primary at Canon Mennonite Church. Not Bob and Tim's opinions, not what we think, but what the Word of God says. I like what Mark Driscoll says. He says, we're mailmen. We deliver the mail. These are letters to the church, to the saints. We don't open, we do open it, but we don't edit, we don't change, we deliver the mail. We're mailmen. And that's what we're here to do. The next thing, Tim, one of the things that Jack Hayford said that stood out to me when I was out at his conference a couple years ago, he said, believing in the truthfulness and authority of God's Word does not guarantee that we will minister that truth in the Spirit of God. Let me read that again. Believing in the truthfulness and authority of God's Word. We've talked many times. We believe that this is the Word of God. It's the very Word of God. It's the book, as Tim calls it, the book. Does not guarantee that we will minister that truth in the Spirit of God. Paul was warning of the danger of God's Word being ministered literally, but not life-givingly. We always want to give life when we preach the Word. One of the things that I appreciate about your preaching, Tim, is it always points to the cross. It always points to Jesus. You know, the Pharisees were fanatical about the Word of God. The Bible, Jesus said to them, He said, you search the Scriptures, thinking in them you'll find eternal life. But they point to me. And the Pharisees rejected Jesus. Always preach Jesus in the Word. Always preach the cross in the Word. That's the theme of the Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme is Jesus. That's the theme of the Scripture. And so that's what we do when we preach. You see, it is possible because the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of life are the same Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. So we can speak the truth, and we can also speak life into the body when we preach, when we're carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I pray for you, Tim. So number four, Jesus is the primary message of the Scriptures. He's the primary message of the Scriptures. Number five, love the author, love the message. You know, I see an incredible love for Jesus in your life, and I encourage that. I commend that. You can't love the message if you don't love the author. You know, there's some things my wife has to say to me that I don't like. I don't want to hear it, but I love her, so I listen. And you know what? As preachers, we have a higher, I don't know if we have, like you said, everyone here has their calling, but we have a greater responsibility to let the Word speak to us and fix us before we're able to practically give it to the church. When you know that I've let the Word of God cut and convict and restore in my life, I have a little bit more credibility when I give it to you. So love the author and love the message. Psalm 119, 165, one of my favorite verses in the whole Scripture. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing causes them to stumble. The ESVs that are now in the pew, if you don't have a Bible, need a Bible, take one. Take one home with you. Appreciate Sean and Sydney going the effort to get those in the church and in the pews. Great peace have they that love thy law, the ESV says, and nothing shall offend them. Tim, Carrie, I know you've been offended already. I know you've been hurt. I know you've felt unappreciated. You haven't complained to me. I appreciate that. But continue to love the Word of God, Tim, like you do, because then nothing will offend you. Then when you preach things that people don't like, when you say things that people don't think are relevant, and you know they came from God, you won't be offended. We're not looking, even though it's hard, we're people. We want a response. We want a response from people, but that's not what we're after, is it? We're here to please God. We're here to please God. So love the author and love the message. The next thing, Tim, and we've talked about this often, and you probably get tired of me saying it, but let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. We've talked about how God expects fruit out of season. He expects us to preach the word in season and out of season, and we wonder, God, how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to be effective? Well, he equips us, and we need to let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting and be faithful and obedient to the charge that he's given us. You know, the last thing I sort of got from my wife, and she said I couldn't share this, but I sort of pressed it a little bit and said I was going to anyway. I asked her last night, what should I say to Tim? And just like that, she said, run. Did you hear that? I said, what would you say to Tim if you were me? She said, run. And you know what? As I thought about that, that was great advice. Yeah, but, you know, I knew what she meant. You know, when you first came to the church, and I had the privilege of being a part of the charge for your commissioning service, I told you, Tim, that this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And, you know, you're a lot younger than I am, have a lot more energy, so you're more apt to sprint. I used to be that way. I just don't have the endurance anymore to sprint. So this is a marathon. As long as God calls you here, this is a marathon. So continue to run that marathon. What did Paul say at the end of his life? He said in 1 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You're looking for the day, not when everybody agrees with you, not when everybody thinks you're great, but when you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You're good by the grace of God, and you're going to be faithful by the grace of God. So run the race. And I want to say this to the church. I want to say this to the church. If you hear or think you hear Tim and I preaching anything but the cross, but Jesus, you run. Or you find out exactly what we're saying. You know, we have a responsibility to God to preach the word, and that's what God is commanding Timothy to do here with his last breaths. But you also, you have a responsibility too to study the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that dividing there doesn't mean separating or cutting apart. It means accurately handling the word of God. That takes time. It takes effort. It takes diligence. It takes discipline. And Tim and I are not the only ones that are called to that. So are you. So if you hear us preaching anything but Jesus and him crucified and risen, you run. Tim, I love you. I wish you well. I'm here to be with you. It's amazing to me, and I didn't know if I was going to say this or not, but you know, there was a day when I thought I'd be where you are. And yet, I'm so content and so encouraged and blessed in the role that God has me in here, working with you arm in arm. You know, we haven't always agreed on everything, but I am just amazed at the way that you allow the Word of God to work in your life. Not that you have to always see everything like I do. We don't always. But we're able to talk and respect one another and encourage one another and walk hand in hand, arm in arm. Not hand in hand, arm in arm. Yeah. I'll go with arm in arm, but not hand in hand. But you get the idea. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I want to encourage you this morning. I know you... You have to listen to me all the time, so you could have had somebody else expound on that passage this morning, but it's a privilege. I love you, and I wish you well.